Morning. Today's daf in Menachos is Yud Gimel. We start today at the Mishnah Yud Beis Amud Beis, and we're finishing up the first parak this morning, and we are still on topic with Pigel. Yesterday, the Mishnah back on Yud Aleph Amud Beis introduced us to Pigel here in Menachos. This is our first introduction to the formation, to the creation of Pigel. To be mefagel an animal, be mefagel a carbon, means that the carbon now is disqualified, but at the same time, consumption of such a disqualified carbon would result in karis under certain circumstances. And in the previous mission, we went through exactly what the parameters are and what the circumstances are where you created pigel, and for eating it, for consuming it, you'd be subject to the karis penalty. Our mission is going to continue on point in terms of what exactly is it going to make to create pigel. Now remember, this is an important point which we've hit numerous times already in the course of Zvachim and Menachos, and we get to reiterate again, and that is when it comes to creating pigel, it's a machshava, and it's an intent. Now, it needs to be verbalized, it needs to be articulated. Rashi says it. Rashi said in the beginning of a Masechta twice. Tosu says it as well. Could be the Rambam doesn't agree with that point, but okay, in other words, I always like to keep it simple. Let's say that the machshava has to be articulated, but it's a machshava. In other words, it's an intent. And the intent has to be that the animal is going to be consumed beyond its prescribed time. Every carbon has a certain time in which it needs to be eaten, and it has to be eaten within a prescribed time. And so therefore, the machshava has to be that, none of us want this, but the machshava has to be where we're going to eat the carbon beyond the prescribed time. Now, when I say eat the carbon, it could be one of two consumers, meaning it could be the part of the carbon that's consumed by people, and it also could be part of the carbon that's consumed by the mizbeach, meaning the mizbeach also is going to have a consumption of the carbon as well. So obviously it depends on what carbonus we're talking about in terms of what part is going to be consumed. But we're learning menachos together, so we're going to focus on the mincha. So let's break down the mincha. Who are the consumers of the mincha? So a standard mincha offered by a non-kohen, so there are two consumers of the mincha. The one consumer of the mincha is going to be the mizbeach, and the mizbeach is going to be consuming the kometz, and also the lavona, which we're going to, let's take the lavona and ignore it for the first half of today's daf, and you'll see why I say that. So in other words, but the mizbech is going to consume the kemitza, and as far as the shirayim are concerned, whatever's left over the mincha, so that's going to be consumed by the kohanim. Remember, mincha falls under the category of kachim, which means that the mincha is in fact consumed, but only by zichrei kohuna in the azara, because it falls under the category of kodesh kadashim. So there are really two consumers when it comes to a mincha. There's a mizbech, and then there's a kohanim. Good. Also, in order for the machshava to be a valid machshava to create pigel, so you have to consume a significant amount. So we know throughout halacha, when we talk about achila, and we talk about a significant amount, so we're talking about a kazayis. So, how would a kohen affect pigel when it comes to a mincha? So the kohen's going to say, while doing one of the dalal avodos, and the dalal avodos are, again, this is great review, the dalal avodos are the actual kemitza itself, followed them by kiddush kometz, putting the kometz into a second kli sharis. Then holacha, bringing it to the mizbeach, and then haktaras hakometz, the burning of the kometz, the four avodas of the carbon mincha. So if during any one of the four avodas, the Kohen says that either the shirayim are going to be consumed, and it could even be reduced down to kezayis of the shirayim are going to be consumed beyond its prescribed time. Now remember, time when it comes to a mincha, it's kodesh kadashim, it's one day and one night. So the Kohen articulates and he says that the shirayim or kezayis of the shirayim are going to be eaten tomorrow, or even by the kemitza. If the Kohen says that the mizbeach, I'm going to put the kometz on the mizbeach tomorrow, so under those circumstances, now he has affected pigel. Good. Everything I said is really rudimentary as it relates to pigel, but just I'm trying to be as clear as possible. We're going to learn now to the Mishnah. Lechol kechatzi zayis, or lahakter kechatzi zayis, kasher. So the Mishnah here treats us to the following halacha. And that is that if we're going to be eating This is all part of the machshava. This is all the intent of the Kohen. Mm-hmm. If the intent is that we're going to be eating half of a kezayis, and we're going to be burning half of a kezayis. So in other words, here's what the Kohen's articulating. The shirayim, tomorrow, not today, but tomorrow, we're going to eat half of a kezayis. And tomorrow also, we're going to be burning half of a kezayis of the kometz on the mizbeach. So now, half and a half obviously equals a whole. Here's what the Mishnah is teaching us. This will not affect pigel. Now, the Mishnah uses the word kosher. Kasher, don't get let's not go overboard. Kasher does not mean that what you did is great. Okay, what you did is not great. Because you try to create pigle, but because of a technicality, however, you're not going to be affecting pigle. And the technicality is ein mitzarfin. We do not combine the two. The Mishnah says it. She'ein achil v'aktar mitzarfin. We can't combine two different consumers. Meaning, because the Mizbeach is one consumer, the Kohen is another consumer, the two consumers do not combine. Even, obviously, two halves make a whole, but two halves, the two different consumers, do not combine to make the full Kezias. And it's really just but a technicality that you have not had a machshava, one single machshava on one Kezias consumed by one consumer. Good. That's what we're learning together in the Mishnah.
How is it possible to put a Kezias for a Kohen?
Well, I made the observation yesterday. It is clear from the Gemara. Clear, and I can't say it any clearer, that the kamitza of the Kohen contains at least one kezayis, maybe even more. Okay. Taima, good. Taima de la'echol ha'akter. Now, here the Gemara now is going to make a really subtle point. So let's work with the nuance of the Gemara. If you look carefully at the Mishnah is talking about why is it not pigle? Because what you had in mind is that we're going to eat, we the Kohanim are going to eat a half a kezias, and we're going to, and the Mizbeach is going to consume a half a kezias. Now, when he said consume, he used the word haktara. Now, that's proper language as it relates to the komets, because that's what happens with the komets. Destination of the komets is that it's burned on the top of the Mizbeach. But let's now just make one really small adjustment in the machshava. Let's say, halecha v'lechol davashen dachar le'echol mitzarif. Let's say the Kohen made the following articulation while doing one of the avodas. So while doing the kamitza, he says, here's what I'm going to do tomorrow. I'm going to eat a half a kezias of shirayim tomorrow, and I'm going to eat half a kezias of the komets tomorrow. Okay, now, Kohen's not allowed to eat the komets. We all know that. We don't have to debate. There's no deliberation. Kohen cannot eat the komets. But we're right now focusing on what registers as a machshava and what does not register as a machshava. It sounds like from the Mishnah that if that was the intent slash articulation of the Kohen, that would in fact create pigle. And the reason why is because even though the Kohen's not allowed to eat the komets, of course that's true, but at least what he articulated is something which is within the realm of possibility. It's not permitted, but in other words, the Kohen is a consumer. And he's now going to say, I'm going to eat a half a kezias of shirayim, which is within his right. Obviously, it's beyond the prescribed time, but again, we're focusing on the machshava, and I'm eating the komets. So now, at least what we have over here now is a machshava made by the Kohen on a kezias by one consumer, albeit, of course, part of it he's not allowed to eat, but that seemingly is not significant. What is significant is that it's one consumer.
But if he eats the komets, then it's no longer a... Then it's not eligible for pigle.
All agreed. But what we're focusing on right now is what registers as a proper machshava vis-a-vis pigle. And what the Gemara is saying is that from the Mishnah, the fact that the Mishnah switches its language from achila to haktara sounds like if we stayed on with achila and achila, it sounds like that would be a machshava. That's the diuk. Now the Gemara says, now I'll tell you why it's not a good diuk, because v'haktani reisha lechol davar shadarko lechol v'haktir davar shadarko lahaktir. Davar shadarko lechol in, shein darko lechol lo. You go back to the mission that we learned yesterday's daf. The mission yesterday's daf seems to be very clear. A machshava on part of the mincha that is not consumable by the Kohen, i.e. the komets, is simply not a machshava, and it doesn't matter what verb he uses. We're going to burn it. We're going to eat it. It's simply not a machshava because it's not something that he's entitled to eat. So in yesterday's Mishnah, what we learned together is that a machshava vachila on the komets is simply not, it's not a machshava. And meanwhile, the diuk in the Mishnah today seems to indicate that it is a machshava. Two basic answers to this question. I'm Rav Yirmiyah Hamani, Rabbi Elazar here. So the first answer is that of Rav Yirmiyah, and he says, look, if you look at our Mishnah, the diuk in our Mishnah is correct. I doesn't agree with yesterday's Mishnah. Two Mishnayos argue with one another. Yesterday's Mishnah, the Chachamim. Today's Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar. According to Rabbi Eliezer, a machshava going on a food, on part of the carbon that you're not allowed to eat, as long as you use the word achila, it registers as a machshava. Now, in terms of the svar behind Rabbi Eliezer, it's hard. It's hard for me to formulate why that should be considered a machshava, meaning you're not allowed to eat it. So admittedly, I'm speaking it out over here, admittedly, it's hard to understand what the basis, what the svar is. But in other words, it clearly is Rabbi Elazar's opinion. Let's take a look at the Mishnah. Did not. We will see this Mishnah later in our perek. If let's say while doing the kmitza, you have in mind to eat something which you cannot eat, or to burn something which shouldn't be burned in the mizbech, i.e. the shirayim, so kasher. So in other words, it doesn't register as pickle because the kohen's not allowed to eat the kometz and the mizbech is not allowed to eat the shirayim. And Rabbi Elazar, posel, and Rabbi Elazar says that's possible. So clearly in the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar acknowledges that a machshava, even on something which is not to be consumed by either consumer, is still registered as a machshava. Okay. What comes down now from Rav Yirmiyah does not create peace between the Mishnayos. What Rav Yirmiyah just simply says is yesterday's Mishnah, that's the Chachamim. Today's Mishnah, that's Rebbe Lazar. That's approach number one. Here comes approach number two. Abaye Amar Filo Tema Rabban, Lo Tema HaLecho V'Lecho Davashin Darka Lecho. So Abaye says, look, what we're gonna focus on right now is the diuk that we try to make in our Mishnah. And Abaye says that's not the proper diuk in our Mishnah. Ela Ema HaLecho V'Lecho Davashin Darka Lecho. So now what the Mishnah here means is as follows. Let's say the Kohen has in mind to eat a half a kezias and couple that with another machshava to eat another half of a kezias, but something which is consumable. And of course you will ask the obvious question. Isn't that obvious? Umay kamashmalan. So, okay. So in other words, the Kohen has in mind to eat and to eat half a kezias, both of which he's allowed to eat. Okay, that's a machshava. And I need a Mishnah to tell me that. So habehejikatani la lecho kezayis bechutz, kezayis lamachar, kezayis lamachar, kezayis bechutz, kechasi zayis bechutz, kechasi zayis lamachar, kechasi zayis lamachar, kechasi zayis bechutz, pasul vein bo kares. As far as combining together half kezayisim of foods which are consumable, we learned that in yesterday's Mishnah, and now here comes our Mishnah today, and now it's not going to give us a single new idea, according to Abaye, and that's strange. So the Gemara says, Asulam Ali. So as we turn to the top of Yigim Alman Aleph, to the obvious question. Okay, what do we gain right now from our Mishnah according to Abaye? So, Ilecho v'lecho davashein darko lecho kamash v'lan dimit starev. Or we should have let me read that again. Ilecho v'lecho davashein darko lecho so kamash v'lan dimit starev mireisha shamas minei. So the Gemara says, look, if we're talking about combining achilas, but achilas of something which is not consumable, so the Gemara says, I already got that from yesterday's Mishnah. And we're going to skip parentheses. Ilecho ulahatir, the Gemara says, and even if it's for the obvious point, not the obvious point, but the stated point of the Mishnah, where the machshava is, the Kohen is now saying, I'm going to eat a half a kezias, and I'm going to burn on the top, meaning, and let me flesh this out better. I'm going to eat a half a kezias of shirayim tomorrow. And the Mizbeach, I'm going to burn a half a kezias on the Mizbeach tomorrow. Meaning, basically, what the Mishnah said. Mm-hmm. So, if that's what the Mishnah is coming to teach me, the Gemara says, Midyuka, I'm skipping parentheses. Midyuka deresha shamas mina. Again, we would have learned that from yesterday's Mishnah. Because, consider, Dahasha malecha velechol davashein darko lechol amart lo mitzdarev lechol lahakter mibaye. Because, please consider, if we're saying that a half a kezias of shirayim, and a half a kezias of kometz, which I say I'm going to eat, if that doesn't combine, which is what we learned in yesterday's Mishnah, so then for sure, half a kezias of shirayim and half a kezias of kometz, which is going to be burnt, for sure that doesn't combine. And again, basically, according to Abaye, what have we learned new from our Mishnah that we haven't already learned from yesterday's Mishnah? So the Gemara's answer simply is in. No. In other words, let's stay on point. Really, what we're learning from our Mishnah is that what doesn't combine? A half a kezias of chila and half a kezias of aktara. And you're going to ask. That's obvious, right? The Gemara says, lechu lahakter yitzrichle. Because sankadat chamina hasam hudalo ki urche kamachashe. Because in yesterday's Mishnah, we were focusing on achila achila. Meaning a half a kezias of consuming something which is to be consumed, coupled with half a kezias of something which is not to be consumed, but using the word achila both times. Do you know why that doesn't combine? Because you're not allowed to consume kometz. And you use the word achila on kometz, I'll tell you why it doesn't register as a machshava. You're not allowed to eat the kometz. But over here in our Mishnah, you didn't say the word achila. You used the right word, haktara. I might have thought, now here's the havamina. I might have thought that, you know what does combine? Half a kezias of achila of shirayim, and half a kezias of kometz, meaning haktara. And now that would combine because I'm using the right terminology and I'm assigning the right consumer to the right portion of the mincha. Avahacha de Bahai ki orche. Half kazai is to be eaten, meaning the shirayim by the kohanim. That's correct. Meaning that that's a proper consumer. Kamechashiv. Uvahai ki orche kamechashiv. Half a kazayis of komets to be burnt on the mizbeach. That's the right consumer. Ema litzdarif. Even after learning yesterday's Mishnah, we're talking about combining consumers that are not eating its appropriate foods. Over here in today's Mishnah, we're talking about the right consumer eating the right food, at least having that machshava, so then I would have had a havamina, very good havamina, that they should in fact combine. Kamash Malan, that's the Chiddush. The Chiddush of our Mishnah is that even that doesn't come on as well, Kamash Malan. And that is, according to Abayi, what we gain from our Mishnah. A quick recap, we have a Mishnah that tells us that half a kazayis of shirayim, a machshava of half a kazayis of shirayim, coupled with a machshava of half a kazayis of komets to be burnt on the top of the Mizbeach, does not combine. That's our Mishnah. Gemara's question, we already knew that from yesterday's Mishnah. Two answers. One, Rav Yirmiyah. The Mishnahs do not agree with one another. Yesterday's Mishnah is a Chachamim. Today's Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer argues on the Chachamim. Two, Abaye is that no. It's still, our Mishnah still is in agreement with yesterday's Mishnah, but our Mishnah still represents a Chiddush because here in our Mishnah, you are thinking about the right consumer eating its right food. And so therefore, I might have had a Havamin that it should combine. Okay. This morning we start the second parak of the Masechta, and before we start with it, let's go over some really basic information regarding a mincha. A mincha, as we already did in the anatomy of a mincha, flour, oil put into a bowl, and there's some water that goes in as well, mixed together, and when I say into a bowl, I mean really a kli shares, now imbuing it with kedushas aguf, and then what is sprinkled on top of it is lavona. You take a fistful of lavona, you sprinkle on top of it, and now I'm going to be, the kohen is now going to offer the mincha. So as we already discussed in detail, kohen now is going to be taking a kemitza of the flour and oil in order to burn it on the top of the mizbeach. But in other words, for him to do so, as we already pointed out before, the lavona is just laying on top, it's a layer of lavona on top. Obviously, it's pushed to the side. Kohen does the kemitza, and now he's going to burn the kemitza on the top of the mizbeach. And now he can eat the mincha? Not yet. In order for him to eat the mincha, there's another thing that has to go up onto the mizbeach, and that's the lavona. Lavona, too, also has to go onto the mizbeach in order for the shirayim of the mincha to be consumed by the kohen. So when I talk about what is a matir vis-a-vis a carbon mincha, there really are two matirin when it comes to a mincha. Your two matirin for the mincha is going to be the komets and the lavona. So here we have a scenario, which we discussed back in Zvachim, but now we get to discuss it in great detail in the beginning of the second parak of Menachos, is that we're looking now at a karban with a double matir. The matir of the komets and the matir of the lavona. Now, as you know, what's coming up, although not today's daf, is the idea of whether or not one could create pigle with chatzi matir. Meaning, if I offer the komets, that's half the matir of a standard mincha. The lavona is the other half. If I offer the lavona without the komets, so that's half the matir. Can one create pigle with chatzi matir? That's a machlokas, and that's coming up, but not today. And that'll come up later. Here's our discussion for today. Now let's see the Mishnah inside. Hakomets is a mincha lechol shireha. O lahatir komsa lamachar. So modir Rabbi Yosi b'tzeshu pigle v'chayiv malav kari. So if you do standard kemitza on a mincha, where? While doing the kemitza, so you now articulate that here's the plan. The plan is to eat the shirayim or to burn the kemitza tomorrow. So here we have a classic case of pigle. And at this point, you have to wonder to yourself, am I not saying something that is so obvious? And the Mishnah says, and not only is it pigle, but even Rabbi Yossi would agree that it's pigle. Now, who's Rabbi Yossi and why would I have thought that he would have said otherwise? So let's all be patient, because the Mishnah is going to, from the continuation of the Mishnah, it will be clear exactly who Rav Yossi is vis-a-vis this discussion and why it is I would have thought differently. So v'chayev malav kares, period. Lahatir levonta lamacher. But let's say while doing the kemitza, the kohen has the following intent in mind. Here's what I plan on doing as he's now doing the kemitza of a mincha. I plan on burning the lavona of this mincha tomorrow. So now, he has a machshava but not on the Shiraim and not even on the Kometz. He has a machshava on the Lavona. What now becomes of Pigel? Will he have affected Pigel by having a machshava on the Lavona? Says the Mishnah, Lahak de Lavona Lamacha, Rabbi Yossi Omer Apostle, the Ein Bo Karis. So Rabbi Yossi says, look, the carbon's been disqualified. And we will discuss whether it's the disqualifications min HaTorah, min DeRabbanan. But in other words, but it's disqualified, but Ein Bo Karis. But in other words, even if the machshava is Chutzos Mana, which clearly it is, meaning he's saying, he's articulating, the Lavona is going to be burnt tomorrow. That's beyond the prescribed time. The Lavona needs to be burnt today. But because it's the Lavona, so therefore Ein Bo Karis, meaning he has not affected Pigel. Now, we're obviously going to ask the question why, but I'm going to ask for everyone's patience and indulgence. We will get to the why in just a little bit. And the Chachamim say, no, of course it's Pigel. Meaning, the Lavona is part and parcel of the Mincha, and right now, while he's doing the Kemitza, he's saying he's going to burn the Lavona tomorrow, so of course he's affected Pigel, because he has now articulated that he's going to be offering part of the Mincha beyond its prescribed time. Of course it's going to be. Of course it's going to result in Pigel. Amru lo, and now the Chachamim turn to Rav Yossi, and the Chachamim say to Rav Yossi, we really don't understand your position. Mashina zemin azevach. How is this any different than a carbon? How is this any different than carbon? Meaning, let's imagine, buy a carbon. You shech the carbon. Again, shechita is the first avoda of the dal avodas. You shech the carbon and you say, you know what I'm going to do? The Kohen articulates while doing the shechita, I'm going to be offering the Imurim tomorrow. The Imurim tomorrow. Now, what are the Imurim? The Imurim are the parts of the carbon that go up onto the Mizbeach. Now, you and I are in agreement, the Chachamim said of Rav Yossi. That's going to affect Pigel. We agree to that. So now, let's now go back to Mincha. How is this any different? He does the Kemitza. The Kemitza is analogous to Shechita. He does the Kemitza, and the Kohen there is articulating, and you know the Lavona, which is burnt on the top of the Mizbeach, I'm burning it tomorrow. So the Chachamim are literally awestruck by Rav Yossi's position. Rav Yossi, you agree with us by Imurim. So if you're agreeing to us by Imurim, so shouldn't you also be in agreement over here by the Mincha? It's the same thing, right? So Amr Lahem, Sha'azevach Damo Vesar V'Imur of Echad, Ulavona Eino Min HaMincha. So Rav Yossi gives an answer. It's right now, at this point in time, it's slightly cryptic. Rav Yossi says, no. When it comes to a carbon, and its blood, and its meat, and its imurim, so echad, it's all one entity. It emerges from one unit. However, when it comes to Lavona, Lavona is eino min mincha. Lavona is not part and parcel of the mincha. It's separate. Right now, it's certainly, right. I'm not gonna try to amplify the answer right now, nor clarify the answer right now, but certainly Rav Yossi has something in mind as he's making a distinction between a carbon versus a mincha, vis-a-vis the Lavona, the relationship of the Lavona to the mincha. And it's something that's not part and parcel, and hopefully over the course of this, of the remainder of today's daf, we're gonna understand Rav Yossi's position a lot better. Okay, we start with the Gemara, and we turn to the Mishnah, and we look at the first half of the Mishnah. The first half of the Mishnah talks about doing the Kemitza on a mincha, with the intent, the articulation that the Shiraim are going to be eaten tomorrow, or we're going to offer the Kometz tomorrow. And that's Pigel, and even Rav Yossi agrees. And even Rav Yossi agrees, and why would I have thought otherwise? Gemara asks exactly that question. So the Gemara explains, because the Mishnah knows what's happening in the second half of the Mishnah. And so therefore, because let's just right now imagine that there was no first half of the Mishnah, just the second half of the Mishnah. What did we learn in the second half of the Mishnah? That if while doing the Kemitza, the Kohen says that the Lavona is going to be offered tomorrow, Rav Yossi says that's not Pigel. Okay, it's disqualified, but it's not Pigel. Now, Ma'o Detema. Now, left to our own device, what would we have thought? If we would have given an explanation for Rav Yossi, what would we have said? Gemar says, here's what we have said. Time to Rav Yossi, Mishim Dekasavein Mefagim Mechati Matir. I would have said it like this, like I said in the introduction to the Mishnah. When it comes to a mincha, there it's a double matir. The matir of Kometz and the matir of Lavona. And the Kohanim cannot eat the Shiraim until both matirim are offered. And if I only had the second half of the Mishnah, where if the machshav is going on the Lavona while doing the Kemitza, so it's not going to be Pigel. You know why? Left our own devices. It's not Pigel because you only had a machshav on half the matir. Lavona is just but half the matir. The Kometz is the other half. Okay. Now, if this is the right understanding of Rav Yossi, parenthetically, it's not. But if this is the right understanding of Rav Yossi, so now let's arrive at the right conclusion, not the right conclusion, but the logical conclusion, which is, let's just flip it. Meaning, let's say the Kohen, while doing the Kemitza, says, hey, I'm going to offer the Kometz tomorrow. That should also not be Pigel. Because what is a Kometz? Half of the Matirin. In other words, you're missing the Lavona. So, in other words, what I would have said is the reason why for Rav Yossi, in the second half of the Mishnah, it's not Pigel, is because you're Ein Mefagel B'chatzi Matir. Pigel cannot be resulted when you only have half the Matir in mind. So, it wouldn't make a difference whether the Machshav is going on Lavona because it's missing the Kometz, or if the Machshav is going on the Kometz because it's missing the Lavona. That's what I would have thought. And if that's what I would have thought, so then we would have missed Rav Yossi's position altogether. We would have erroneously concluded what Rav Yossi is all about. Now we open up to the first half of the Mishnah, and now we see that's not the right understanding of Rav Yossi, because what's the first half of the Mishnah? If while doing the Kemitza, the Kohen says that I'm going to burn the Kometz on the Mizbeach tomorrow, even Rav Yossi would say it resulted in Pigel. So this has nothing to do with Chatzi Matir. Nothing. So obviously if it has nothing to do with Chatzi Matir, so what is the basis of Rav Yossi's position? Let's turn to the next Amud. So Matir Vafil Reshanami. So Kamash Mlan Debahamode. So over here, that's the purpose of the first half. The Mishnah tells that Rav Yossi agrees to the first half of the Mishnah, and this is not a function of Chatzi Matir. So Lahakti Levonta Lamacha Rav Yossi Omer Pasul Ve'im Bo Karis. So okay. So now what we need is an explanation for Rav Yossi. So here we go. Amar Reish Lakish, top of Yud Gimel Amud Beis, third line down. Omer Haya Rav Yossi Ematir Mafagas Amatir. So the Gemara tells us like this. The basis for Rav Yossi is as follows. You cannot create Pigel by one Matir having in mind a second Matir. In other words, Pigel is where you have a Machshava while doing an Avoda, and Avoda that is a Matir for something which is going to be consumed. So something that's going to be consumed, as we already pointed out earlier this morning, can either be consumption by the Kohanim, meaning the Shiraim of a Mincha, or the consumption of the Mizbech, i.e. the Kometz of the Mincha. But if what you're having a Machshava is on a Matir, which only is on something which in of itself is also a Matir, so Rav Yossi says that will not result in Pigel. This is the basis, according to Reish Lakish. This is the basis behind Rav Yossi. Omer haya Rav Yossi ein matir mefagos amatir. V'chein ata omer b'shnei b'zichel avonu sholachem apanim. She'ein matir mefagos amatir. And then not only is that going to be true regarding Lavona Kometz, it's also going to be true regarding the two spoonfuls of Lavona for the Lechem Aponim. Meaning, Rashi. She'im hikter, Rashi, the first short line. She'im, second. She'im hikter ha'echad mi bezichei Lechem Aponim. Almanas lahaktir ha'acher lamacher ein machshav lafago. In other words, in order to eat the Lechem Aponim, we know that both spoonfuls have to be burned on the top of the Mizbeach. Each spoon obviously represents a Matir. If, let's say, the Kohen, while burning the first spoonful of the Lavona, of the Lechem Aponim, says, here's my plan. My plan is that second spoon, I'm burning tomorrow. He is not result in Pigel. Because the Machshava has to be going on something which is a end-user product, meaning the Lechem Aponim, and not the second spoon. The second spoon is a Matir. So Pigel will not result when the Machshava of one Matir is going on another Matir. So the Gemara says, okay, let's think this through. First of all, my v'chenatam omer. Meaning, okay, good. What Reish Lakish now provided for us is really just but a simple and logical conclusion. So the Gemara says, well, look, I could have made the argument that, you know why it's not resulted in Pigel if the Machshava is going on the Lavona? So maybe it has to do with the fact that the Lavona is just simply something which is external to the Mincha altogether. Meaning it's not part and parcel of the Mincha. And Ava B'Shnei B'Zich, I'm sorry, not and. Ava B'Shnei B'Zich Lavona, Demina Da'adad, Dineinu Eima Mefagli Adad, Kamash Malan. Meanwhile, when we're talking about the two spoonfuls of Lavona for the Lachem Aponim, obviously the second spoonful is comprised of the same material as the first spoonful. In other words, Lavona. So I might have thought that maybe Rav Yossi would register that as a machshava spigol, because you are having a machshava on something which is similar. But the Gemara says, but in other words, that's not the, that is not the basis of Rav Yossi's position. The basis of Rav Yossi's position is simply ein matir mefagel matir. Now the Gemara says, umi matzis amar time to Rav Yossi belavon alav mishum delav mina deminchehi. Now the Gemara says, now let's go back to that. To that argument that we just rejected it. But the Gemara says, you know what? It's funny. You rejected it? Did you read the Mishnah? We did read the Mishnah. V'haktani sefer, amr lo ma v'shinta min hazevach, amr lehem hazevach dama v'zar v'imur v'echad, and levona einu min amincha. Look back at the Mishnah. What did the Mishnah, what's the wording of the Mishnah? When the Chachamim challenged Rav Yossi, how can you say that when the Kohen, while doing the Kemitza, articulates and says, we're going to eat the Lavona, not eat. We're going to burn the Lavona on the Mizbeach tomorrow. And the Chachamim said, that's pickle. And Rav Yossi says, no, it's not. And the Chachamim are looking at Rav Yossi, and the Chachamim said, you know, by a carbon? In other words, let's take out Lavona, let's substitute with Imurim. You know, you would agree if this were a case of carbon, and the Kohen said that the Imurim are going to be burnt tomorrow, and you would agree, and you're not going to agree by Lavona. And what was Rav Yossi's answer? No, Imurim is part of the animal. And Lavona is not part of the Mincha. So the argument we just ended up rejecting, that's exactly what Rav Yossi says in the Mishnah. So my eino mina mincha. So what we have to do now is that we have to go back to Rav Yossi in the Mishnah, and when he says the words eino mina mincha, it can't mean what we thought it meant. We thought it meant it's something external and it's not part and parcel, as opposed to Imurim, which is part and parcel of the animal. That's what we thought. But the Gemara now says we're going to have to revisit it and understand it better. And the Gemara says, and here's what it means. Eino bi'ikuv mincha. The Gemara says that what he meant is that it doesn't hold back the mincha. Meaning what? Rashi. Eino bi'ikuv mincha. Rashi is a little bit above where we are in the Gemara. Rashi dibra amascha eino bi'ikuv mincha klomer. Lo'olam taima mishum de'in matir mefagel samatir. Again, the correct basis, the correct rationale behind the position of Rav Yossi is this idea that pigul is only when, while doing the avoda, the machshava is going on a consumption product. But if you're doing the avoda and the machshava is going on something which it itself is a matir, serves as a matir, that doesn't result in pigul. Now, klomer, lo'olam taima mishum de'in matir mefagel samatir. That's really the basis for Rabbi Yossi. V'hachi kamer lehu, and this is what Rabbi Yossi is saying to the chachamim in response. Hazevach kulo echad, v'hadam hu amatir esei imurim. Meaning when you're talking about a carbon, meaning the animal, it's all one singular unit. And there's only one matir for the rest of the animal, the blood. That's it. The blood is the only matir. The rest of the animal is considered end user product, consumption product. And kulo echa v'adam hu matir se imurim. Hilkach kichisha v'al imurim chutzuzmano b'shas avodas dam lashnei matirim ninhu. When you have a machshava of the imurim while sprinkling the blood, that's not one matir on another matir, because the imurim is considered the consumed product of the carbon. Aval levona eino ma'akeves mincha, eino bechlal ikuv shirayim. As far as the levona is concerned, so it doesn't hold back the mincha, and it's not included in ikuv shirayim. We'll change Rashi just a little bit based on the side. The in hakomitz ma'akev alavona may haktir ki heched de ma'akev shirayim hilka chavi lavona matir bifne atzmo. In other words, what is a lavona? Lavona is a matir. Do I have to wait to offer the komitz in order to offer the lavona? No. In other words, I can offer the lavona before I offer the komitz on the mizbeach. Meaning that the Lavona is not, I'm not waiting for the Kemitza to be burnt on the Mizbech in order to offer the Lavona. You can offer the Lavona before the Kemitza. Since that's the case. So in other words, what's the right way to look at the Lavona? What's the right identification of the Lavona? Lavona is a matir. Unlike the Imurim. You see, with the Imurim, you can't put up the Imurim on the Mizbech until you sprinkle the blood. So in other words, clearly the relationship between blood and Imurim, blood is a matir, Imurim is a nitar. That's not true by Lavona. You're allowed to offer the Lavona before you offer the komitz. In other words, and you can't eat the shirayim until the Lavona is offered. But clearly the Lavona, because it could be offered before the kemitza, is not a nitar of the kometz. It is only but just a matir. The lav ki hechi. Now I'm back to the Gemara, and the Gemara is now just spell this out. The lav ki hechi. The makiv lu kometz lishirayim. The kometz lav mitkatir kometz lamit ak lishirayim hachanami makiv le levona. Ella ibai hamakta bereisha v'ibai hamakta bereisha. The Gemara articulates exactly this point. When it comes to the kometz and the levona, which one do you have to offer first? It doesn't matter. You can offer the levona before the kometz. You can offer the kometz before the levona. And nobody can eat the shirayim until you offer both. But clearly, each one represents a matir. Okay, good. And that is all but an explanation for Rav Yossi, and quite frankly, a beautiful explanation for Rav Yossi. So now we have, according to Rav Yossi, ein matir mefagel matir, which now means that if something qualifies as a matir, and while doing the pigle, you have a machshava of a matir, not a nitar, so that won't result in pigle. Good. And when it comes to the Lavona is a matir. And the best way to test that, the litmus test for that, is the fact that the Lavona, you don't have to wait for anything in order to offer the Lavona. And you can't eat the Shirayim until the Lavona is offered. Lavona is a matir. Fine. So unlike the Imurim, let me just again spell this out, unlike the Imurim, when can you offer the Imurim on the Mizbeach? Only after the blood is sprinkled. You can't offer the Imurim until the blood is sprinkled. So clearly the relationship between blood and Imurim is that blood is a matir and the Imurim is a nitar. Okay. Virabanan. Now that we've explained Rav Yossi and we have a wonderful understanding of Rav Yossi, so what about the Chachamim? Virabanan. Ki aminan ein matir mefagel samatir. So the Chachamim do in fact subscribe to such an idea. So in other words, the kernel of this idea is something which is unanimously agreed upon. It is just simply a question now of application. The Chachamim say that our application of this principle of Ein Matir Mefagel Matir is very limited. Actually, it comes up only one place in Karbanos. So when is it true that Ein Matir Mefagel Samatir, skip parentheses, Hani Milehecha Dolo Ikva Bechad Mana? That's only when it is not placed in one singular kli. Avahecha Deikva Bechad Mana Kechad Dami. But once it's placed into a kli, so then it's considered like one unit. Meaning, when we prepare a mincha, what goes into the kli sharis? The oil, the flour, the lavona. It's all going into one kli. So what does that do? It creates a kvias. It locks it all together. So that locks it all together now, so it's all considered one unit. So that now, if you have a machshava while doing the kmitza of burning the lavona, so the Chachamim said, because it went into the same klishar, so Lavona is now considered part and parcel of the Mincha. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, according to the Chachamim, we are not going to treat this like a case of one matir being mefagel on another matir. Mm-hmm. What would be an example, according to the Chachamim, where one matir is mefagel another matir? So that's a wonderful question. And without Rashi, I'm not sure if I would have given you the right answer. But thankfully, we have Rashi. Rashi writes, Hecha dolo ikva bechad mana. In a case where it's not in one utensil, kigon, Rashi writes, the example would be kifsei atzeres. The two lambs that are offered on Shavuos. On Shavuos, we have something really interesting vis-a-vis carbon and relationship between two carbonos. We have the kifsei atzeres, the two lambs that are offered on Shavuos, together coupled with the shtei alechem, the two loaves of bread. And Rashi points out, demoda rabbanim b'sefet demasis and shachet echa mina kvasim la'echol mechavero. Now, as far as the shtei alechem is concerned, no kemitzah is taken from the two loaves of bread of Shavuos. So if no kemitzah is taken, so it needs a matir. Everything needs a matir. I don't want to say it so simplistically, but everything needs a matir. Meaning, how are we eating the shtei alechem and Shavuos if there's no kemitzah of the shtei alechem? The answer is it has a separate matir. What is the matir? The kifsei atzeres, the two lambs. The two lambs on Shavuos serve not only the shchit and the zrika of the lamb serve as a matir for it itself, meaning the animal itself, but it also serves as a matir for the two loaves. Okay? And, demasis and shachet echem and akvasim lechol mechaveru lamachar. If, let's say, while shechting one of the lambs, you have in mind that what you're going to do is eat the second lamb tomorrow. Now, that second lamb, on Shavuos, is a matir. They both serve as matirim. So here's a scenario in which the Chachamim are going to agree with Rav Yossi. Yeah, this is a case of ein matir mefagel matir. Shneim ksherim deshneim matirim es alechem. They both serve to be matir the bread, the shtei alechem. Hasam vada amar ein matir mefagel es amatir. That's a case where the Chachamim would agree. Unlike when it comes to a regular mincha. So when it comes to a regular mincha, where the kamitza and the lavona and the shirayim are all first contained in one kli. So that's the case where the chachamim say we don't apply the principle of ein matir mefagel matir. Okay, I'm Rav Yanai, and we end off today with one halacha which seemingly is unrelated to our mishnah, but okay, comes up over here. Lika lavona bazar pasul. If let's say the lavona was aggregated, collected by a non-Kohen. So, no good. Now, we talk about the collection of the Lavona from the top of a Mincha. So what did the Tzar violate? Meaning that in order for a Tzar to disqualify a Karban, he's got to do an Avoda. And so our question that we're going to deal with for the last part of today's daf is, what's the Avoda that he did by collecting the Lavona on the top? Now, we're not talking about where he burned the Lavona. Burning the Lavona is part of the Haktara. We're just talking about the collection of the Lavona. So what did he do that qualifies as an avoda? So my timer. Good, that's a Gemara's question. I'm Rav Yirmiyah Mishum Halacha Naguba. So Rav Yirmiyah explains that you know what he did? He did the avoda of Halacha. Meaning, and Halacha we normally assume means that he took steps towards the Mizbeach. And as we're going to see, and we already saw this back in Zvachim, Halacha doesn't necessarily mean he has to actually physically take steps. Halacha could just simply mean that he brought the carbon closer to the Mizbeach. So over here, by collecting the Lavona and handing it to another Kohen, so what he did is he facilitated and he allowed the Lavona better access, easier access to the Mizbeach, and this is a function of Halacha. So the Gemara here spells it out. First of all, halacha does not necessarily limit it to the definition of walking. It just simply means that you've made it better access now to the Mizbeach. And we also subscribe to the opinion that halacha done by non-Kohen is disqualified. You go back to the beginning of Zvachim. This takes us back some time ago. So remember, there was a machlokas tanaim, whether or not halacha is considered an avoda, which can be disqualified if done by a non-Kohen. So we're going to take the position that it will be disqualified if done by a non-Kohen, meaning halacha is an avoda, which is the accepted halacha. Okay, Amar Rav Mari Afanam Namitanin. Now what Rav Mari wants to do is he wants to prove this point from a mishnah. Zaklal. Kol HaKomet V'Nosim B'Kli V'Amolach V'Amakter. That with the mishnah that we learned in yesterday's daf taught us that this is a rule. That if Kemitza or Kiddush HaKli, Kiddush HaKomets, or walking or Makter, now, Bishlam HaKomet Hainu Shochei. Now, again, we go back to the analogy that we've seen so many times. As far as the first activity of Kemitza Shechita, I see the parallelism. And Molech Nami Hainu Molech. And as far as Halach is concerned, walking the blood to the Mizbeach, walking the Kemitza to the Mizbeach. Parallelism is clear. And Makter Hainu Zorek, burning the Komets, sprinkling the blood, it's really clear. Elanosim B'Kli Maika Aved. But taking the kemitza and putting it into a second kli sharis, you want to tell me that's Kabbalah Saddam? Now, I say it as if that's like a crazy statement. What the Gemara is going to end up saying is that, yeah, that's right. But right now, for the next 2 minutes of Gemara, the Gemara is going to say, really? So the Gemara says, Elim Mishum Dedami Kabbalah. You really think it's comparable to Kabbalah Midami? It's not comparable. Hasumi Mela, Hacha Kashak of Arami. Blood after you shech the animal, so it naturally flows into a kli. But when it comes to the Kiddush HaKomets, there's nothing natural. Meaning, you have to take the Kemitza and you put it into a Kli. So the Gemara says, so, Kiddush HaKomets is not Kabbalah Saddam. Now, I said that, and I know I'm going to retract from that in just a moment. But, we're following through the flow of the Gemara. It's not, Kiddush HaKomets is not Kabbalah Saddam. So, Ela Mishum Dekem Delo Sagile Delo Aved Le Havoy DeChashuvahi. So the Gemara says, yeah, but in other words, it's a necessary step. A necessary step. I mean it both literally and figuratively. Meaning because now it's a necessary step in the part of the burning of the komets, so therefore it's considered an avoda. So therefore we treat it like Kabbalah. Same thing with the collection of the Lavona. It's a necessary step. Since it's a necessary step, it therefore qualifies as avoda. So akarchich mashulei keolacha. Okay, and the Gemara says that's all wonderful. That's all a nice argument, but the Gemara says, but that's not right. La olam dedami la kabbalah. Really, when it comes to Kiddush HaKomets is Kabbalah Saddam. It's one and the same. Ude kakashalach. And what bothered you? Hasam imela hacha kashakal v'rame. over there by blood, it happens, it flows on its own. When the Kiddush HaKometz to the Kohen has to do it, the Gemara says, Michti, Tarvayu Kedushas Kli Hu. Okay, the Gemara says, yes, that you're right. It's different in that regard. But in terms of objective, it's the same objective. The blood has to be collected in a bowl. The Kometz has to be collected in a bowl. So objectively, it's the same thing. Mali Mimela, Mali Kashakal Varami, and it doesn't make a difference whether it happens organically or whether you have to actively do it. It really results in the same thing. And so therefore, the proof that Rav Mari wanted to give on behalf of Rav Yirmiyah is not necessarily an ironclad proof. Okay, let's just quickly wrap up today's daf. We talked today about trying to combine consumers when the Kohen is having the Machshava on Pigel, and he has in mind half a kezayis of a part of the mincha which is consumed by the Kohen, meaning the Shirayim, and couple that with half a kezayis of parts that are burnt on the Mizbeach, i.e. the Kometz, so that doesn't combine. What is the Mishnah teaching us that we didn't learn from yesterday's daf? So two opinions in the Gemara of Yirmiyah and Abaye. And that concluded the first parak of Menachos. Second parak opens up with the discussion of having, while doing the Kemitza, having in mind of burning the Lavona tomorrow. And that we saw in the Mishnah as a machlokes between Rav Yossi and the Chachamim. Rav Yossi says that will not result in pigel, and the Chachamim say will result in pigel. What is the basis of Rav Yossi Shita? So again, just as a summary, it's very simple. Ein matir mefagel matir. A machshavas pigel has to be where you're, while doing an avoda on the matir, you're having a machshava on the nitar, on the part that is being allowed, that's being permitted. And when it comes to Lavona, Lavona is not a nitar, and Lavona itself is a matir. And the best test case for that, the best proof for that, is the fact that you can offer the Lavona before you offer the Kometz. In other words, the Lavona is really an independent matir, it's not a nitar. And to which the Chachamim's counter-argument to that is that we agree principally with the idea of Ein Matir Mefagel Matir, but that's only something like the Shtei Halachim where the two Matirim are literally independent of one another. But when it comes to the Lavona, which goes into the Kli together with the Mincha, it is no longer considered an independent portion of the Mincha. It's now considered part and parcel of the Mincha, and therefore the application of Ein Matir Mefagel Matir doesn't apply to the Lavona.